Okay, I want to discuss two things. First, I want to discuss the topic, a topic from the Sefer Mo'adim L'Simcha, on why don't we make a bracha on the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then when we finish, then I want to discuss a few little short ideas on the Haggadah. Okay, so number one, we have a very important mitzvah, the night of Pesach, L'mante Saper, B'yoz Levincha, Eisesher Hissalalti, B'yoz Mitzrayim, we have a mitzvah, V'igat Levincha, B'yimuhu Le'imor. Why don't we make a bracha asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al mitzvas sipur yitzias mitzrayim? What happened to the bracha? So he has over here probably 15-20 reasons why we don't make a bracha. But he begins with a Rashba. The Rashba is a very important Rashba. I've seen this Rashba quoted often in various the topics. The Rashba says that when you study the inyan of when to make a bracha on a mitzvah and when not to make a bracha on a mitzvah, after analyzing every svar and angle, you'll never be satisfied. You'll always remain with loose ends and questions. And therefore, basically, there are no rules to which mitzvah gets a bracha and which mitzvah does not get a bracha. Every mitzvah has its own mazel. There are some mitzvahs have gewaldig mazel. Chazal made a bracha, told you to make a bracha for that mitzvah. And there are some mitzvahs that didn't have such good mazel. They didn't get a bracha. Because when you're going to try to analyze all the tariag mitzvahs, you're going to see that the reasons given don't always work out across the board. There are too many exceptions to make the reason into a specific rule. Okay, so that's the something we should really keep in mind when we're dealing with the mitzvah. Why don't we make a bracha on the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Okay, so the first reason is he gives is there is no shear. Generally speaking, every mitzvah you make a bracha, it's defined. When you put on tefillin, how long do you put on tefillin for? For one moment. You put the tefillin on your arm, on your head, you make the bracha, and you rest it on your arm, you're finished, you've done what you're supposed to do. When it comes to a mitzvah of eating, eat a kazayis matzah. You eat a kazayis matzah, there's a shir kazayis, whatever the shir is, you eat the kazayis, you're done, you're finished. When it comes to Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, so the way he explains over here is that according to many poskim, there's no shir lamata, there's no shir lamala. B'diyavah, even one word is enough.
So there is a shir.
That's not called a shir. It's too open-ended. There's no shir lamata, just saying, oh, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yoyitze the mitzvah. You sit down by the Seder and you say, oh, tonight is Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Lamala, every additional word that you add, Kol Hamar B'Lasaper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hare Zem Mishubach. So Chazal could not give a bracha on something that is so open-ended. It's so open-ended, both lamata and lamala. It is, he has the...
It's only the meshubach. Once you say one word, it's a yoyotze.
Yoyotze, yeah, but meshubach appears to me that this is all part of the discussion. You see, this topic, which I'm not knowledgeable to go through this topic, but this topic is an amazing topic because it brings out, when you go through each answer, they have 20 answers, it forces you to delve into the deeper understanding of what the mitzvah Yitzibah Yitzias Mitzrayim is all about. So you're touching on something very important. You're saying over here that every additional word that you say is just a hider. It's not part of the Ikar HaMitzvah. He appears to say that's not so. Every single word that you say to enhance the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a chilk of the etzem mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And such a mitzvah is unprecedented. There is no parallel where a mitzvah is so open-ended. He gives, for example, let's talk about truma. Well,
what about
all your money. Tzedakah has a limit. Whatever is in the bank account. What?
You don't make a bracha
on tzedakah. So first of all, tzedakah does have a limit. Tzedakah, you're not supposed to give more than 10%. And you won't even give 20%, but there is a limit on tzedakah. Chazal give very, very, very clearly have defined exactly what the rules of tzedakah are. In Echlam, we're not going into all the mitzvahs.
Okay. When you say open-ended,
I can understand there's no ceiling on it, but as far as the minimum threshold, that would be the formula of the Haggadah.
No, he's saying that the formula of the Haggadah is way, way more than you need to be to the mitzvah. The formula of the Haggadah,
then there is a threshold.
The threshold, according to some, is even a machshava. He discussed that at great length. Another reason why he make a bracha. Even the ikar hatin, just thinking about tonight is a zecher for yitzias mitzrayim, yoytzer the mitzvah. Yes, it's open ended from the minimum through the maximum. Let's take a step back. What about truma? What's the shear of truma? Afilu chita achas poteres esakri. The minimum is one kernel. One kernel. You make a bracha on Shuma, so he asked the question, so you do make a bracha on Shuma, even given there's no shir lamata. But there is a shir lamata. What?
Chacham established a shir lamata.
Chacham established?
A shir for Truma.
150th. Okay, so that's one mahalach. But Shuma at least has an end. What's the end? What's the most you can give Shuma?
Everything except one.
There's a limit. Whatever you have is defined. Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim, the quality and the quantity, whatever you can hop around the whole night. You can sit the whole night and talk a mile a minute. Whatever you can get in. But that's a time limit. That's not as far as the actual Sibur itself. When it comes to your grain,
We do Zechor Tishrei every night.
Okay.
So that's the basic. But then tonight it's different. You're going more into it. So if you're, Rabbi, if your theory is correct, just by saying Krishma, you go home and say the same Krishma already.
He presents that as an answer also. We'll look at that a little bit later on. There are two dinim in remembering Mitzrayim. There's Zechiras Yetzirat Mitzrayim, Laman Tizkar, Esyom Tzeitzcha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha. That's Zechiras Yetzirat Mitzrayim. We have an obligation to do that every single day and night. And we do that in the Kriya Shema and the Birchas Kriya Shema. But the night of Pesach has a different mitzvah, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzirat Mitzrayim. So let's go to another answer. The other answer he gives, the reason why we don't have a special bracha is because even though we have a separate mitzvah, but this separate mitzvah, the bracha is included in the bracha we make for Goal Yisrael in Ma'ariv. When you dive in Ma'ariv, and Ma'ariv was when we are mekayim the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Ma'ariv is packaged in a bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. We say a bracha in the morning and at night, Baruch Hoshmona Esrei, and at night we make a bracha. So, being that we all are already making a bracha for the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, even though on Pesach night we have a different mitzvah of Sipur, of relating the storytelling of the mitzvah, the storytelling of the mitzvah, question and answer, father and son, and all of those things, but that is only an outgrowth of Zechira. And Chazal did not have enough courage or right to make a separate bracha on Sipur when you are already making on that very night a bracha on Zechira. The difference between Zechira and Sipur is significant, but not significant enough to say that it should now get its own separate bracha. That's a different approach. Okay, another answer, a very similar answer, is that the mitzvah, the kiddush, that is really the bracha. When you make kiddush the night of Yom Tov, the kiddush you make from the first kiss, that to some degree is the bracha on the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's what the night is all about. Another answer, similar answer, is it's all part of the mitzvah of matzah. The purpose of eat matzah for 7 days, and the question of mazos goes in the matzah. So you tell them, so Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is only an extension of Achilas Matzah. So since we're making a bracha on the matzah, memeil the bracha on the matzah, memeil is koil the bracha on the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. See, all these answers, they bring in a different dimension. What exactly is the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim?
There is a thing in the Chuyuv that says in the Akkad, There's three things. Who's Rabbi Gamliel?
Pesach, Matzah, Umara. But the primary bezman hazeh, we only have matzah. So the primary mitzvah, even Mara is only midrabbanan bezman hazeh. So the primary mitzvah is matzah, and on matzah, through the matzah, we are being mekayim. We are expanding the matzah to the sipur. Once we make the bracha on the matzah, that bracha already is called within it the obligation of sipur yitzias mitzrayim.
But you say the pikach before.
Okay, so the way we structure, we embellish it. The nusach of the Haggadah is an embellishment for the Yikar. Okay, let's go to another answer. Now, this answer is an interesting idea. Why don't we make a bracha on staka? When you go to the ani, you see an ani comes to you and he says, "Can you do me a toiva? I need." He may not accept what you give. Right, so it's totally bedas acherim. It's totally in someone else's. You know, the common answer is that you don't want someone's another person to be the chefts of your mitzvah. Torah doesn't. Chazal did not reduce a human being into an object. A mitzvah is made on an object. Another giving stock, or you're taking advantage of a person's situation to make a bracha. That's not the right thing to do. That's a very common answer. But another level, as you mentioned, is the reason why it's totally bidas achem. If I'm going to give you tztaka, you may not want to accept it tztaka. You may reject my gift. And any mitzvah depends upon someone else's participation. Chazal did not enact a bracha. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is only done through question and answer. And in fact, there's a halacha, this is a big discussion. The manishtan in the Nusach Haggadah is a cop-out. It's not what's supposed to be. What we're supposed to do, we're supposed to be creative. Maker Hadin, every parent is supposed to do strange things the night of the Seder in order to get the children to ask. And even if the children are very clever, today Baruch Hashem live in a very wise generation, and if the children are clever, they know all the answers, you're still supposed to do something that will arouse their curiosity and ask a question. I saw somewhere that the Belzer Rebbe, not this Belzer Rebbe, the previous Belzer Rebbe, Nifter, he would take him in the beginning of the Seder. He once took, maybe he always did this, the koshal yayin, and he put it on his shoulders, and he walked around the table. So why do you do that? Normally, in order to get the children to ask, normally you put the matzah on your shoulder and you walk around the table. By putting the kois, he's doing something abnormal. They ask the question. Oh, I now have fulfilled. I have fulfilled my obligation of now. You've asked a question. Now I can begin to tell you. What's important at the night of the Seder is to be creative, to do something strange, to get the children to ask. And according to the Rambam, it's mashma. Once a child, according to the Gemara, it's mashma. Once a child asks a question, what is going on over here? Why are you doing this? You no longer have to say the nusach of the manishtan. The old manishtan was only established for people that don't have children. You're all alone. So you have nothing to ask, you know all the answers. So then we have a formula, you ask each other these questions. What? Haben Shoyel, what? Can Haben Shoyel, whatever is on his mind. Not the Nusach that's printed in the Haggadah. Can Haben Shoyel Man Ishtana, colon. Period. That's the end. Now the child asks, Man Ishtana, we ask his private questions, why is this the way it is? If the children are not clever enough to ask any questions, so then we fall back on a nusach that was given to us by the Masader Haggadah, the one who wrote the Haggadah. So what is the point we take away from this? Is that the real way to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is totally midas acherim. The child has to ask. And if the child does not ask on his own, is not aroused through something unusual to ask the question, you really have not fulfilled the mitzvah the way it was meant to be fulfilled. People who are really nizer in this halacha will do strange things in the night of Pesach, in the spirit of Pesach, to arouse a child to ask a new question that he never thought of before, and that is a true fulfillment of beginning Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the whole mitzvah depends, is toluy b'das acherim. Chazal never enacted a bracha on a mitzvah that the depends upon someone else's participation. You cannot make a bracha b'shem u'malchus when you need someone else to help you to do that mitzvah and you don't know if they're going to come through for you. The children may not answer the question. And the nusach of the Haggadah, that's not the real deal. That's not a real question. That's something that they're just reading. They're reading. They've been told to ask. It has to be a sincere question. Talib das nechem emeli, you can't make a bracha. Okay, that is a very interesting answer. Another answer is, you don't make brachas on tsars. Since the Haggadah begins with maschel dignus mesayim mishvach, the sipur yitzias mitzrayim begins with mitchila oivdei avoyde zoro hoyu avoseinu. Gevaldik. We start out as idolaters. Or in the beginning we had graced tsaris avodim hoyin leparo. Chazal are not going to step in and tell us to make a bracha on Avodah Zarah. Baruch Atah Hashem, we worship idols. Well, we're not going to make a bracha. Wonderful, we suffered. We glorify suffering. It's ridiculous. Since the etzem mitzvah of Sipo Yitzias Mishraim involves Maskel Bibnus Messiah Mishrach, Chazal cannot possibly come and make such a bracha.
What if the bracha began
but it's all part of Sipo Yitzias Mitzrayim, all built into Sipo. Yes, since the element is Maschel Bignus Messiah Beshvach, this is one of the critical elements of Sipo Yitzias Mitzrayim. There has to be Gnus in one shape or form. Chazal are not going to glorify Gnus. Not every mitzvah gets a bracha. And this is a candidate of not getting a bracha, we're not going to glorify. Now, son, a very similar idea, this is a very powerful mussar, very similar idea is the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Torah reveals, is for all four children. Connected Dalid Bonim Dibra Torah. Echad Chocham, Echad Rasha, Tan, and She'ena Yodel Lishol. The Rasha is not a pleasant situation. Dealing with the Rasha is not. Chazal are not going to institute making a bracha for a situation that is not 100%. You have to do it. You have to go and answer the Rasha. Unfortunately, there are in Poshe Yisrael, there are banim that are Rishoyim. It's a very powerful word, but it's the word Chazal use, Rishon. And the parents have an obligation and say, I have to teach you. Vigat levincha. The Torah, we hake yashinav. Hake yashinav. Exactly. You don't make a bracha on hake since it's part of what is required. The Torah gives a response. The Torah does give a response for the Rasha. We don't give that response in the Haggadah. We have hake yashinav. Whatever that means, it's a separate issue. But because part of the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is to deal with the Rasha, how is the Rasha going to feel? The Rasha sitting at the table, right? You got him to come to the Suda. He's a Rasha in the full sense of the word of the Father. It's, oh, Baruch Hashem, my Rasha has arrived. I'm now going to use you as the Chetza. Baruch Hashem, Elokim 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 Asher, Kedushanu B'mitzvah Yisrael B'sivanu, Al Mitzvah Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ah, my Rasha. Let me tell you what the Torah told me to tell. Does that make sense to you? Is that a mahalich? Is that a mahalich to go and make a bracha for the Rasha? There are so many things wrong with that. You look disturbed. What are you disturbed? It's not a mahalich to go and make a bracha and responding to a Rasha. What?
There's a fifth son that unfortunately
doesn't come to the Seder. Okay.
That's the worst of all.
Okay, so
if the Russia comes back.
But Kineged, but look at the Torah. The Torah says Kineged Dalid Banim Dibra Torah. The Torah is obligating you.
The Torah says speak to him.
Okay, the Torah is obligating you. The Torah is telling you to speak to the Rasha the night of the Seder. It's not derech eretz. It's not min hanimus to go. And before you speak to the Rasha, you invite the Rasha to the Seder. I'm now going to make a bracha. I mean, mekayim mitzvah by talking to you and giving you mussar and telling you what you should. That doesn't make sense. And that's why you don't make a bracha. You don't make a bracha at the Seder. Okay, we mentioned before another reason that's a very big chiddush to say is that some of the whole that you can be yotze the mitzvah with machshava. You can be yotze with machshava and dvarim shebelev, you don't make a bracha. This that we actually say, we bring it out. Now there is a nafka mina. The nafka mina is if you hold nika mitzvah to yotze with machshava, you have to understand what you are saying. That would be a very, very big chumrah. Most mitzvos, most amiros, dibros, things that you say, you don't necessarily have to understand. Mikra Megillah. If you don't understand one word of the Megillah, but you read every single word in Hebrew in the Megillah, Yoytse. But when it comes to the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, the connotation of the word Sipur means to relate, the Higadita. There has to be some degree of understanding. Understanding is totally in the lathe. So therefore, even though we actually articulate, we express it, but what you're expressing must be understood. Oh, it's totally in the machshava. Nowhere did Chazal ever make a bracha on a machshava. You make a bracha on a maisa, on a dibur, on a maisa, not on something that the ikur is the machshava. Sibur yitzias mitzrayim is done repair, but it must be understood, which means the focus is understanding. Understanding, you don't make a bracha.
There's no mitzvah
that's heard. No, machshava, no such thing as making a bracha machshava. Okay, we'll give another other couple of quick answers.
You can make a bracha.
What? What?
In your machshava, you can make a bracha.
On what?
In your mind.
In your mind, you make a bracha. No, you don't make a bracha. Okay, there are other some bizarre answers. Another answer is that, this is an interesting answer. Chayiv Adam Laharois Es Atzmi. He brings that from someone that says this idea. Chayiv Adam Laharois Es Atzmo Ki Ilu Yatzam Mitzrayim. The real true fulfillment of the mitzvah of Mitzrayim is to relive it yourself, to actually visualize yourself leaving Mitzrayim. Does the average person really fulfill the mitzvah 100%? Definitely not. It's almost impossible to really convince yourself. We're not on that level. We're not on that exalted level of spirituality where we can make believe that we're mamish in Mitzrayim and we're putting the mats on our shoulders and we're leaving Mitzrayim and the Egyptians are chasing us and there's a nani hakavod. You have to be a Baal Madrega to be Mekayim the mitzvah the way it should be done. Lirois laharois es atzma. So since it is really humanly impossible to fulfill the mitzvah the way it was meant to be fulfilled in the Torah, the best we can do is just a mock-up. We can try to imagine. It's not b'shleimus. Chazal felt it not to go too far to make an actual bracha.
So why do we say that?
You should try your best. You should try your best. Chayv haros, you should try your best. But in reality, we know you'll never make it, so you don't make a bracha. Another reason why, and this is a little bit bizarre, this reason, be that if a person converts, a ger, when does the ger make the bracha? Does the ger make the bracha before he goes to mikvah, or makes the bracha after he comes out of mikvah? A ger makes the bracha after, because until he comes out of the mikvah, until he has a bris milah, he's not yet Jewish. He only can make the bracha after the process is complete. Since the night of Pesach, we are reliving the experience. When is the experience complete? Chatzos Laila. Chatzos Laila. Chatzos Laila is when the mitzvah expires. The mitzvah begins the night of Pesach. The mitzvah is of Chatzos Laila. So by the time we get to the Zman, the experience, it's premature to make the bracha. The bracha should be made when it's over, and it's like a ger, there really is no other time. Now another interesting idea.
I remember you discussed with last year the Lashon of the ger, because his grandparents didn't go out of this place, right? Right? He's a ger. So the Lashon Elo, the Yonah, Alsano, is Havasenu. Most places hold it, he says it anyway, right?
Right.
Yeah, so.
Because Havasenu means he attaches himself to Klal Yisrael. Okay, these are the basic, let's leave it with, these are the basic ideas. There are more ideas, but we'll leave it with this. I just want to tell you, over the time, let's tell you maybe one or two verloch on the Haggadah. I saw the night of the Seder, we eat matzah. It's the only mitzvah deraisa of achila in the Torah b'zman hazeh. B'zman shabbes, hamil shayekai, maybe there are other mitzvahs of korbanos, even that's not so simple. If there's a mitzvah chiyuvis, mitzvah kiyumis of even kodoshim, but achilas matzah l'chol adeos is a matzah mitzvah deraisa. Afilu b'zman hazeh would you kumva say every person must eat matzah. Saw a very interesting shaila that was presented to the Chofetz Chaim, and I'll first ask you how you would paskin, and I'll tell you what the Chofetz Chaim paskin, and from that you learn something truly amazing. Here was a shaila. What would you say? A person comes to the Rav and says, "I've been drafted into the army, okay, into the Goyish army." Not talking about the IDF. IDF, they this Shem Shabbos and kosher food. Drafted into a non-Jewish army, and there are two battalions I can join. In one battalion, they will allow me to observe Shabbos. That's the way it is. There's a religious freedom, and I can work out my schedule. We're on Shabbos. I do not need to participate in any melacha. I can sit in the tent, and I'll be fine. But there is absolutely no kosher food. All the food is treif, and I'm going to have to eat. So I'm going to have to eat non-kosher meat, non-kosher food. Period. The other option is I can go to a different battalion where I have to mechal Shabbos. There's no way around it. Every Shabbos you have to go out to the battlefield and mechal. But that battalion happens to have a chaplain, and they have their kosher food. I'll never have a problem with kashrus. So I ask you, what do you think is the better choice? I would think you think mechal Shabbos. Why would you say that?
Because let's say he has no food.
Yeah.
It's a pikuach nefesh, right?
Yeah.
And if you have...
It's pikuach nefesh both ways. Either to eat or to chal Shabbos.
Pikuach nefesh is a pikuach neshama. One is a...
Kintim halev?
Yeah, so he's better off, you know, he'll do the minimum what he has to do. He's not doing it.
Kintim halev is a Kabbalistic thing. Kintim halev. What?
The food is part of you. It becomes year after year.
This is a Kabbalistic thing.
No, not Kabbalistic.
Tintim Halev is a Kabbalistic thing. All right, okay, you're very, very, I hear what you're saying.
It doesn't mean that necessarily he'll come to Chol Shabbos.
No, we're dealing with a situation where Al-Derech HaTeva, that's the way it is. There's going to be Chol Shabbos. You're telling me this, Miss Asay, you're touching on some interesting ideas. But I think the God answer of a responsible rabbi, I'm Aretz, totally wrong. I think the God answer would be, you have a choice between Chol Shabbos and Macholas Asuras. Macholas Asuras is a Lois Asay. Chol Shabbos is Chorus, Skila. So of course, when you have a choice between an Avera Chamur and Avera Kala, what do? You do an Avera. You do an Avera,
so
Kala.
You won't have kosher food all week.
Okay, that's exactly right. You have kosher food, so you're saying it's multiple. So let's make the Shaila where it's only going to be once a week. Okay, you're only going to eat non-kosher once a week, so we'll make it equal. Equal amount of Averas. Let's put it in that fashion. I think it's a simple matter. I think it's a fair svar. It's a Gemara. We have a Mitzvah Chama, Mitzvah Kala. Yeah.
What kind of Shabbos is it?
What kind of Shabbos is what?
Instead of challenge, you gotta eat a pig stew. I mean,
okay, yeah. So the Chofetz Chaim, basically says what you're all feeling, but he says it in a much more powerful way. The Chofetz Chaim told this is a real shaila that was presented to the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim paskin that you should better eat kosher and be mechalal Shabbos. Be mechalal Shabbos, but eat kosher. Why? Timtum Halev. He didn't just say Timtum Halev. It's something very, very important. Timtum Halev means exactly what you said. When you eat non-kosher, the non-kosher goes into your blood. It becomes part of you. That's a very nice thing, but you know the Torah only puts a lois nasei, not chiyuv karis. So the Chofetz Chaim added one very significant point. He says, if you're going to go to the battalion where they're going to give you non-kosher food, you're going to keep Shabbos, very good. You'll be there for 6 months, for a year, and you'll keep Shabbos. You'll keep Shabbos because that's why I made a decision to go. What's going to happen when you leave the battalion? When it's over, when the war is over, when your tour is done, and you go back home, now you'll have freedom of religion. You can observe Shabbos, and you can eat kosher. Chofetz Chaim, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to become Mechal Shabbos. You're going to, because through the Timtum Halev that you're going to experience during those 6 months, that Timtum Halev will destroy your neshama. I can guarantee that after you finish your duty, you'll become a Mechal Shabbos for the rest of your life. On the other hand, if you'll go into the group where you'll eat kosher and you'll be mechal al Shabbos, there'll be no timtum halev. Your body will not absorb the chazarai, the tarfus. And then when your duty is over, your tour of duty is over, you'll go back. You'll be a shomer Shabbos for the rest of your life. We have a principle in halacha that says better be mechal al one Shabbos so you can observe multiple Shabbosos. Yeah, a person is dying. You're allowed to be mechal al Shabbos to save a person's life so you can observe multiple Shabbos. That's the point that's required to understand. It's not just Timtum HaLev. Timtum HaLev does not win. A person is allowed to be Metamtum his lev when he has no choice. Ein dover ein mibikoach nefesh. If you have no kosher food, you're allowed to be Metamtum your lev. You don't have to die. But there's another principle. What about the future? So the Chavetz Chaim says it's mukhoch. You're going to eat tarfus, and you'll be shomer shabbos in the army. Yeah. And after the media stops snapping all the photo, the pictures for the newspaper. Look, we're so tolerant. There's religious freedom in the army. When the army is over, you'll go loud and have a life of chil shabbos. And the mele benedi mechalo the multiple shabbos sites now in the army in order to observe multiple shabbos later on. An incredible chiddush. This takes a Chavetz Chaim. It takes a Chavetz Chaim to have the sensitivity to Paskin as such a Shaila. So what do you take out of that? I saw this in Haggad. Take out of that is you have to appreciate what it means, food. Michla dim himnusa. The matzah is called matzah of faith. Matzah, we're learning in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. Matzah, when you're eating matzah, you're eating, it's a shmartim es ha-matzah. Every step of the way in the preparation of matzah, we inject emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitzias Mitzrayim. That achilas matzah, the night of the Seder, is Kodesh Kodoshim. Just like the negative, the Chavetz Chaim says, you eat non-kosher. Think about the long-term effect. Alachas kama v'kama kumba asay, the eating of the kedusha of matzah, if it's done in the proper way with the proper hachonos, you should not underestimate the kedusha a person can fill himself up with for what's going to be in the future for the remainder of the year and the remainder of his lifetime. So let me say one of the quick vart. We say in the Haggadah of Yishan l'avaseinu l'lanu shebechol dor v'dor oim demoleinu l'chala simi HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzlein miyada. The next, right away, we go on to say Tseu Laman Mabike Shlomon Haravi Lovon Harami Lasos Liakovinu. Ma'in Zeitzel. So, what is the shaykhus of Lovon Harami? And second question, is it really true that behold Dor Vodor Oimdim Alim Lachalaseinu? Is it really true? Yes. I mean, there are tkufas when. But. You study history and the big picture of things. Behold, Dor V'Dor, there have been generations where we've it's been pretty good. It's not necessarily they're not coming to go to kill every single one of us.
We don't know.
So what exactly does it mean? So the idea is as follows: the pause when Yaakov Avinu came to Esav after he spent 22 years in the home of Lavan. Lavan, we don't find that Lavan openly tried to kill him. We don't find that openly in the Torah. He was there 22 years. He married his two daughters. He had Enoch, he had grandchildren. He made a parnasa. He made a parnasa for Lot. He made his own parnasa. He left. And now he comes to Esav. Esav, he knows, wants to kill him. He stole the barachos. So Yaakov Avinu, he prepares three things. From Muhammad, he sends a gift. And he's mispal. When he's mispal, he says, Hatzileini no. Miyad Ochi Miyad Esav. So everyone knows why the question, why does he have to say Miyad Ochi Miyad Esav? So the common answer is that sometimes my brother Esav comes as a brother, brotherly love. He loves me, he hugs me, he kisses me, he embraces me, he wants to destroy me through assimilation. And sometimes he attacks me, Esav. So according to most commentators, Derech Pshat, Miyad Ochi and Miyad Esav, or Miyad Esav and Miyad Ochi, both words refer to Esav. And sometimes Esav comes to a person, comes to Yaakov, together an Ochi. However, I saw in a Haggadah, a Jewish, that when Yaakov Avinu said Miyad Ochi, Miyad Esav, Ochi refers to Lavan. Lavan, in fact, called Yaakov his brother. When Yaakov Avinu came to the well, and he came there with nothing, he said, listen, Atzmi ubesoriata, you're my brother, I'll go and I'll give you, you're Atzmi, I don't remember the exact words, but he referred to him, I think at one point explicitly, if I'm not mistaken, he referred to him as a brother. You go, or Leah, Rivka said, go to my brother, you go to my brother, he'll protect you. You go to Lavan, my brother, he'll protect you. You have to study the Pesukim, you find that it refers to him explicitly as a brother, or refers to him as a very close relative, which has the same status as a brother. Now when Yaakov Avinu, this is a very frightening vart, it's very, unfortunately, you feel this a little bit in the news, in the current events. Yaakov Avinu, when he went, he was 22 years in the home of Lavan. He never felt threatened. He felt, I can deal with you. Ochi ani b'ramos. I'm your brother. I've got all the psukim. You're my brother in Ramah. You want to deceive me, Lavan? You want to trick me? You want to switch my wages? The speckled, the not speckled. Don't worry, I'm a match. We don't find anywhere those 22 years that Yaakov Avinu felt that his existence was physically threatened. I know I'm vulnerable. I know I'm in trouble, but I could deal with it. I never felt that someone's coming to destroy me. Now, when I come to Esav, it's a whole new ball game. Esav is coming with 400 men. Esav wants blood. He wants blood. It's very disturbing. It's a wake-up call. When Yaakov Avinu went and met Esav and felt that Esav is out for blood, that aroused in him a recognition that Lavan also for 22 years was out for blood. It's just that he didn't realize it. You don't appreciate how dangerous the situation is until you come face to face with even a more dangerous situation. Rachmanos person, you go to another country, the Middle East, and they shake you up. You're in the airport, and they check you, and then there's a security threat, and you feel that your life is threatened. Then when you come back to the safety of America, you come back to your home, to New York, you begin to think twice. You know, just like I almost lost my life on the other side of the world, I was shaken up. It was really dangerous. There were real terrorists. I saw my life fly before me. Maybe here in America, maybe it's the same thing. Who says things are so good over here? It causes you to rethink, to reevaluate what has been going on all along where you thought you were safe. Yaakov, 22 years. Listen, he's a deceiver, he's a meshugan, a lavan. All right, I'll deal with him. Now I come to Esav, and there's a gun pointing at my head. Hashem, save me. Don't just save me from Esav. I'm so shaken up, I realize, miyad ochi, Lavan. Lavan also wanted to destroy me. We come to the Seder. What is the Seder all about? Paro. What did Paro want to do to us? Kol habein, hayiloid, hayoira, tashlichu. Paro wants blood. He wants churban. Nothing should be left from Klal Yisrael. Zero. Wipe them out completely. And now, when we come face to face with this experience of Pesach, of where someone's trying to physically destroy us, we're shaken up. And when we're shaken up, we realize, you know what? Maybe all the good times, when we weren't shaken up, when we were, for example, in the presence of Lavan, you know, it wasn't so good then either. Maybe really behind the scenes they were also trying to destroy us. That's exactly, you come over here to the Hag, you pick up the kais on Paro, and now we say, B'chol dar v'dar, amdibalim l'chal aseinu, now we begin to appreciate that even in the good times, B'chol dar v'dar, specifically which of the good times? Tseyu l'mad b'abikesh lovon harami. When you come to a matzev of sakana, then you realize that even the times when it's not such a... Now what's happening, all of a sudden now, Obama says it's time to reevaluate our relationship with Israel. It's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call. There's a real danger. Iran is a real danger. There's a real sakana. And then when you're shaken up, there's a real sakana, you really begin to evaluate, is America, were they ever really our friends? You have to make these questions, they come to light. And that's what the Baal HaGadah says. The whole door of a door. Why are you asking the question now, Love and Harami? It's only now when you're shaken up with a paro that's trying to destroy you, does it make you ask the questions, what was really going on in the past and the other generations when they didn't try to destroy us? Maybe secretly they did want. Well, the Baal HaGadah is very frightening. It says the truth is they really do. You just don't realize it. The whole door of a door. So this is, I think, it's a very powerful musa to learn from Hagar.